Kim Roberts, tell us about Ignite opening its season with the play Harvey.
A go-to show for community as well as professional theater in this country. It's been on Broadway 3 different times. It won a Pulitzer Prize for its playwright. And of course, there is that award-winning 1950 movie with Josephine Hull and Jimmy Stewart.
So plenty to recommend it. What about internally to recommend it? Why does it work so well for a community theater?
It is written, first of all, extremely well, which means that the humor is inherent in the characters and the situations. It doesn't rely as much on witticisms or snarkiness. So it's a comedy that is approachable by people that may not have spent their entire lives acting, although we have a very experienced cast for this show. But it can be successful for high schools where people aren't as experienced. I also love it because it's gentle and it's pleasant, and I find a real renaissance in the character of Vita Louise, Elwood P. Dowd's sister, where she starts out so concerned with how she appears in society and appearances, and over the course of the play really comes to appreciate the value of living in the moment and finding the good in every situation and everybody.
So the two people in this scene are?
This first scene, we have Myrtle May, which is Elwood P. Dowd's niece, and her mother, Vita Louise, and they have are quite upset about the impression Elwood is leaving with his imaginary friend, Harvey, this 6.5-foot rabbit. And they have invited in the ladies of the town to try and make an impression for an afternoon gathering in the afternoon, because that's the time that Elwood and his pal Harvey traditionally make their rounds of the local watering holes. But of course, because this is a comedy, Elwood returns early, and they watch in horror from the library as Elwood makes the rounds of the ladies in the drawing room.
So with Myrtle May and Vita Louise, here we go.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Myrtle, where are you going?
Up to my room. He's introducing Harvey to everybody. I can't face those people now. I wish I were dead.
Come back here. Stay with me. We'll get him out of there and upstairs to his room.
I won't do it. I can't.
Myrtle May. Now, pretend I'm fixing your corsage.
Oh, Mother.
We've got to. Pretend we're having a gay little chat. Keep looking. When you catch his eye, tell me. He always comes when I call him. Now then, do you see him yet?
No, not yet. How do you do, Mrs. Cummings?
Smile, can't you? Have you no pride? I'm smiling, and he's my own brother.
Oh, Mother. People get run over by trucks every day. Why can't something like that happen to Uncle Elwood?
Myrtle May Simmons, I'm ashamed of you. This thing is not your uncle's fault.
Ouch, you're sticking me with that pin.
Oh, that's Miss Ellerby. Keep looking, keep smiling.
Mrs. Cummings is leaving. Uncle Elwood must have told her what Harvey is. Oh, God.
Hello, this is Mrs. Simmons. Should you come in the clothes you have on? What have you on? Who is this? But I don't know any Miss Greenewalt. Should you what? May I ask who invited you? Mr. Dowd. Thank you just the same, but I believe there has been a mistake. Oh, well, I never.
Never what?
One of your Uncle Elwood's friends. She asked me if she should bring a quart of gin to the Wednesday Forum.
There he is! He's talking to Mrs. Halsey.
Is Harvey with him?
What a thing to ask. How can I tell? How can anybody tell but Uncle Elwood?
Okay, there's a scene from Harvey, which is opening a week from today at Ignite Theater in the Valley, 1018. 10814 East Broadway. Myrtle Mae Simmons, played by Tristan Canfield, and Vita Louise Simmons, her mother, played by Marty Kittleson. Stay around, you two, for just a minute. And between you and the director, Kim, let's talk about reality or not, or facing down what is. I mean, just from that scene that we just heard, what are kind of the issues going on of what somebody is trying to hide within a family or admit to, or what's going on?
Well, as Kim stated, we're putting on a very fancy social event, and this is set back in 1950 or early 50s. So the social protocol is a lot different than what we see today. It's all about appearances, and we're terrified because Elwood is in there with our friends and the social elite, embarrassing us because he's introducing an invisible rabbit. And so we're trying to maintain some decorum. Myrtle Mae would really like to get married. I would like that for her too. And yet I know that I love my brother, and I can't blame him fully. There's something beyond him that's creating this problem.
But it is pretty classic 1950s. From one can tell where, as you say, the appearance is everything, and that could sabotage the wedding and the whole thing. And so you have a reason to wish he'd get run over by the truck, right?
I do indeed.
Yeah.
He is messing up our social life. He is causing havoc and lying about this invisible rabbit, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, we do have three other folks here. We have Elwood and Ruth Kelly and Dwayne Wilson. So, Kim, come back to kind of setting up, we figured out who Elwood is, played by Philip West here. But then Ruth Kelly and Dwayne Wilson, describe these characters.
The scene they're about to do takes place after Vita has tried to have Elwood committed to the sanitarium. He walks away from the sanitarium, and the sanitarium staff, which includes Dwayne Wilson, the general enforcer, if you will, or attendant, if you won't, has been out looking for him, and Nurse Kelly is on the premises as a double-duty receptionist, nurse, attendant. And at this point, Elwood has wandered back to the sanitarium, but still missing is Dr. Chumley, who owns the sanitarium and who may or may not have last been seen in Elwood's company and Harvey's company.
Okay, well, let's move in here and hear this scene from Harvey.
Dr. Chumley did come into Charlie's place, you say?
He did, and I was very glad to see him.
Go on.
He asked for me, and naturally the proprietor brought him over and left him. We exchanged the conventional greetings. I said, "How do you do, Dr. Chumley?" And he said, "How do you do, Mr. Dowd?" I believe we said this at least once.
Okay.
I'm trying to be factual. I then introduced him to Harvey.
To who?
A white rabbit. 6 feet tall?
6 feet?
6 feet, 3.5.
Okay, fool around with us, and Dr. Chumley is probably someplace bleeding to death in a ditch.
If those were his plans for the evening, he did not tell me.
Go on, Dowd.
Dr. Chumley sat down in the booth with us. I was sitting on the outside, like this. Harvey was on the inside near the wall, and Dr. Chumley was seated directly across from Harvey where he could look at him.
That's right. Spend all night on the seating arrangements.
Harvey then suggested that I buy him a drink. Knowing that he does not like to drink alone, I suggested to Dr. Chumley that we join him.
And so?
We joined him.
Go on.
We joined him again.
Well, then what?
We kept right on joining him.
Oh, skip all the joining.
You're asking me to skip a rather large portion of the evening.
Tell us what happened. Come on, please.
Dr. Chumley and Harvey got into a conversation. Quietly at first. Later it became rather heated, and Dr. Chumley raised his voice.
Yeah? Why?
Harvey seemed to feel that Dr. Chumley should assume part of the financial responsibility of the joining. But Dr. Chumley didn't seem to want to do that.
I can believe that part of it.
Let him talk.
I agreed to take the whole thing because I did not want any trouble. We go down to Charlie's quite often, Harvey and I, and the proprietor is a fine man with an interesting approach to life. Then the other matter came up.
Cut the double talk and get on with it.
Mr. Wilson, you are a sincere type of person, but I must ask you not to use that language in the presence of Miss Kelly.
You say the other matter came up?
There was a beautiful blonde woman, a Mrs. Smethills, and her escort seated in the booth across from us. Dr. Chumley went over to sit next to her, explaining to her that they had once met in Chicago. Her escort escorted Dr. Chumley back to me and Harvey and tried to point out that it would be better for Dr. Chumley to mind his own affairs. Does he have any?
Does he have any what?
Does he have any affairs?
Well, how should I know?
Please hurry, Mr. Dowd. We're all so worried.
Dr. Chumley then urged Harvey to go with him over to Blondie's Chicken Inn. Harvey wanted to go to Eddie's instead. While they were arguing about it, I went to the bar to order another drink, and when I came back, they were gone.
There we go, from Harvey. And as Harvey's good friend, Elwood P. Dowd, that was Philip West, and then Dwayne Wilson, played by Troy Heppner, and Ruth Kelly, played by Catherine West. I want to spend some time, obviously, with Elwood P. Dowd, and anybody else can come into this conversation, but, you know, mental illness, you know, and so using that as a focal point for a play, is it any different from when it was written to now? Is there any greater sensibility, any squirming that would happen now compared to 1950, whenever, when this was written, do you think?
Oh, I would say absolutely. There's definitely some lines in the play that are even sometimes hard to compare to the language that we use nowadays. And there is definitely a stigma, probably still today as there was back then, with having a mental illness. So the interesting part to me is there are signs that this puka is real. So there is that little thing in the back of your head. Is this really mental illness? I know that's kind of how it's wrapped up in the play, but I like to think that maybe there's little chance that Harvey is actually really there, just doesn't show himself to everyone.
Or deeper philosophically, that you know, anybody's reality doesn't need to compare to anybody else's
That's right.
reality.
That's right.
It was one of you wanting to come in.
Well, I was going to say the way the play is written, it definitely leaves it open to, is he mentally ill, or does he simply have a gift that nobody else accepts?
Oh, Kim, do you want to come in and talk about that?
Oh, I just think it's even more ambiguous than that, which is a sign of great writing. I mean, it's entirely possible that Elwood is cognizant that Harvey isn't real, but is a device for creating his personality in the world, or believes him real and uses him as an alter ego to his personality to do things that he wouldn't otherwise. And it's wonderful that the playwright lets us see all that. And there's probably, you know, 1,000 other explanations as to, is he real? Is he not? Who believes in him? Who shouldn't? Who sees him? Why do people see him? Why does this person see him and this person not? And you can draw a lot of observations from that as to how we choose to, each of us, live our own lives, what we choose to see in a situation, the good, the bad, the real to us, anyway.
Yeah, Catherine, do you have an idea on that?
I've certainly come up with some ideas on why he is the way he is, and it is a unique perspective he has on the world that maybe more people should have. There is so little negative. He sees the positive of every situation. And that is, you know, it's inspiring.
And also in the fact that that he also is happy with what he has, mm-hmm. which is something that I think true happiness is, no matter what your station is in life, is, are you happy with where you're at? If you're never happy with that, you're always approaching and trying to reach that point. And he's happy wherever he is. He enjoys it. That's a goal that we should all hope to attain. I don't know if that's possible, but it's really it's an enjoyable part to play.
Nice. And the role of Elwood P. Dowd, that's Philip West that was just speaking right before that, as Ruth Kelly. RN was Catherine West, and then Troy Heppner is Dwayne Wilson. So that's the Play Harvey opening on Friday, a week from today, and running through the 23rd. Last word, Cam, anything either about that or about the thrust of Ignite Theater this year?
We have a busy season this year. This is our opener, and our season tickets are available throughout the entire run of Harvey. We pride ourselves on having the lowest ticket prices of any theater in the region. So for $60, you can buy a ticket that gets you into six main stage shows, three Reader's Theater productions, and a monthly improv presentation. Our next show, and Troy is glaring over my shoulder right now. Troy is directing the next main stage production of Two Witches, No Waiting, which auditions the week after Harvey opens. We also have a Reader's Theater production auditioning the week after that, which is interesting. It's the night of January 16th, and the playwright is none other than Ayn Rand in a different aspect of her life.
Well, okay, Ignite Theater and the things they're doing. So that's our theater for today. All of these plays, both what we did today and yesterday, are opening 1 week from today.